ready for the word this morning? Thank you, Lord. Gone. I just had a verse drop in me. I wish I'd have looked it up. Not going to take too much time to right now. Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Trying to figure out where I wanted to start at. And let's go to verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus makes an interesting statement here. Because we've got a theology going around in the church that says, all you've got to do is call Lord, Lord, and you enter the kingdom. Right? All you've got to do is cry out to Jesus and you're going to heaven and everything's going to be okay. But Jesus here says himself, it's not enough just to call me Lord. You must also be obedient to the directions God gives you, right, to the Word. Now, we know we don't have to follow God perfectly, but there is a responsibility to be led of the Spirit. And I'm telling you right now, we know that when we're born again, we enter the kingdom of heaven. But we also know until we follow God and activate spiritual principles, we do not experience the blessings of that kingdom. Did you follow that? There's a need to activate spiritual laws to be able to receive of God's blessing. And God's raising up a people of extreme accuracy in hearing Him in these end times. We're seeing more visions come to pass now in these, I'm not talking just about in His church, but the church right now as a whole are seeing more visions take place at a higher rate than at any other time, I believe, in history. I mean, God's got so much to do in a short time, He's got to get a lot of information to us. I personally am seeing visions at a rate I've never experienced before in my life. I mean, I'll be praying and boom, there's another image. There's something God's showing me. And we had the Grace Ministries motorcycle rally here this last couple days. And thank you, Pastor Jim, for putting on that great event, spread of food. I mean, you go to Beattyville, they feed you. And this year we had Aaron Dunteman join in the praise and worship. And he and Jason Shoemate knocked it out of the park. I mean, we had a time of praising God. And Pastor Jim shared a word with the people that were on the trip. And so Aaron was there, Casey was there, myself, out of this church. And he shared a word that when he shared it, I went, that's it. It's what God's been showing me piecemeal over the past, I would say, 1 to 2 months. And he put it in a nutshell. Now, and I'm going to share that this morning. In fact, Nancy's prophecy was exactly in line with this word I'm going to bring forth. That tumblers are being, there's an ear being put to the vault to unlock this thing. And tumblers are falling into position to open up what God has for us. And so Pastor Jim shared an experience that I would have to say totally mirrored my entire year this year. At the beginning of the year, Reverend Bobby Jean Merck called Apostle Callahan, and I've shared this before, gave him a prophecy. He said, this is an I guarantee it prophecy. God said, this year for you and for your ministry is a year of great increase. You'll increase in finances, in people, in giftings, anointing. You're going to increase in every front. She said, however, before you see the increase, there will first be a decrease. And as a ministry as a whole, we've seen either a decrease or kind of just almost a freezing in position this year. And Pastor Jim summed it up like this. He feels almost like he's been on a video or been in a process of going forward, and all of a sudden when this year hit, it was like the pause button was hit. Like pause was hit and everything just froze. And I feel like that in this church. We're proceeding ahead, you know, things are getting done. We're not about to be foreclosed on or anything, but it's like we've not seen the advance I'm believing for. And it's almost like things are just held in place. And he had been experiencing this for some time. And so he was in Illinois here a few weeks back. And he said, now he didn't share this when he was here, did he? Okay. He said he had had enough and he needed to hear God. So he told the Martins, he was staying at their house, I'm going in this bedroom and I'm not coming out until God gives me some answers. I've got to know what is going on, that this hole is in place. And so he went in, and after I don't know how long of seeking God, God spoke to him, had his ear to the vault, and gave him five things that he needed to do to get his life off of hold. And as you share those five things Friday night, I'm going, that's the exact same five God's been showing me. In fact, on the motorcycle ride down there, the first one he showed was one God was showing me. Because I spent the ride just worshiping God. And the Friday. And so this morning I got up and I felt led to, I had worked on a whole other lesson yesterday. And late last night, even I'm working on this lesson. But I felt the Lord say, no, hold that one for now. And he brought to me that thing that Pastor Jim shared. I want you to share that. And it's funny, I took notes on it. I wrote down most of what he said. So all I had to do was call up and print out my notes from what he said. And I've got this morning's message. So I got up this morning and I was praying. Again, over the meeting and everything, over this morning's gathering. And Casey, can you bring me that vacuum cleaner? Just wheel it over here. And can you vacuum off the top of the stage? I'm just teasing. Hang on, it's in the cord. There you go. Here we have our church wet dry vac. Thank you. That's all I needed. And you can tell it's been used. We didn't take time to clean it up this morning. But this morning I'm praying, and I'm not thinking vision. I'm not thinking seeing anything. I'm just sitting there on the couch praying over, speaking. The people come in, you know, everything's, the anointing's here. And all of a sudden I saw this vacuum cleaner. Not this one necessarily, but a wet dry vac. In fact, all I saw was the end of that hose, or a hose like it. And as I looked into the end of the hose, it was totally packed full of dead leaves and twigs, almost like it had gone through a mulching machine or something. You're signaling somebody on something. What happened? Really? Punching a hole through. I saw, isn't that wild? I saw this thing totally plugged up. And I've used these a lot. I mean, I've got a couple of these at home. I've given away one or two of them. And this hose was actually, I think, bigger around than this. It's a bigger hose. Looking, because I can still see it right now. And it was crammed clear full of, like, crunched up sticks, twigs, and mainly dead leaves. And it was blocked. And I've had that happen to me many times. If you've used one of these before very much, you've had your hose plug up. And what happens is these things are designed to operate at a certain rate of pickup. So if I'm vacuuming, and normally the place I vacuum is my garage, and I mean, I probably vacuum at least once every year or two, and whether it needs it or not. And I'll have sawdust, I'll have plastic chips where I'm machining plastic, I'll have, you know, dirt, grime, whatever, everywhere. And I'll be sucking this stuff up, and as long as I go at a slow enough rate, I'm picking up stuff, you know, there's not too much, it just takes it right through the hose into the item. But time and time again, I'll hit like a, where I used to really do a lot of woodworking. Behind my radial arm saw, there would be a pile of sawdust, maybe a foot high. And I'd say, well, I've got to get that sawdust. I'm not going to get a broom. I'm just going to suck it up with a wet dry vac. And I'd start sucking it up. And all of a sudden, because I'm sucking up a big pile, it tries to pull it all in at one time and jams in the hose. And there I am. I've got to take the hose off, take a stick, poke the stick through, trying to get it loosened up, shake it, smack it on the wall. Haven't even done any of those things. Trying to get the hose cleared out. And the problem is not that the vacuum wasn't working properly. So what I'm going to share this morning is not that you're not doing the right things, but your load increased to the point beyond what you could handle. In fact, what I want to get at is this year, I believe the enemy's worked to plug up our lines through overload, through dead clutter, through a big pile of stuff he wants to throw in front of you that gets you so caught up in doing stuff, gets you so caught up in emergencies you've got to address, situations that rise up. It's plugged up your line and you feel like not enough anointing's coming in or not enough love's coming out or not enough flow is in your life. Amen. And what happened is your life somewhat spiritually went on pause. And so Pastor Jim was seeking God about this pause thing, and God told him, I'm going to give you five things to unblock the flow in your life. And I believe it's universal for this ministry, if not for the end time church. Amen. So we, listen, we've been asking God for more. God, pour it out. Send us your glory. Send us your increase. Send us whatever. Send us opportunities. And the enemy hears that. So what you do, between you and your opportunity, he dumps a whole pile of dead stuff to get you caught up sucking that up, block your lines with that, so that you can't get into what you need to do. Amen. Has anybody beside me experienced that this year? Lift your hand if that's, you experienced it. See these hands going up? In fact, I would have to call this, for me, a busy year. I hadn't planned to make 5 trips to Kansas in the last year. 6 counting twice this last time. Situation arise after situation. But there were things that had to be addressed. I believe even assignments of God. It's not that we're doing the wrong things necessarily always, but something's got to do to increase our ability to handle bigger loads. Did you catch this? And at times there are things that have blocked up our life that we may need to move out of the way. So I want to go through this list of 5 things that God gave him. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26, I'm even going to use the same verses. I wrote them down. I'll probably add some, but we'll start with his. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It's talking about Uzziah, King Uzziah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Uh-oh. I'm telling you what, God's increasing visions. And he's giving us understanding of these visions. And God does not give you a vision that there's not an understanding available for you. Amen? But he's increasing them. And if you pray, he'll give you understanding. And if you have a major vision, bring it to me. Bring it to some of the pastors in the church. We'll help you unveil that thing to the best of our ability. So in a time of vision, it says, as long as he sought the Lord, King Uzziah, God made him to prosper. In other words, as long as he sought the God, as long as he sought the Lord, nothing could stop up the flow of his increase. The first step I want to talk about that Pastor Jim said God told him is it's vital that we continue seeking and worshiping the Lord. Number one, if we want to unstop these pipelines, increase your worship. And this is one God's been dealing with me with on the last month or so. I'm normally a major word person. I worship God every day. But if you give me a list of a worship song or listen to a teaching tape, I'm going with the teaching tape virtually every time. Do you follow me? But God inhabits the praises of his people. And we've got to make sure we're not just after knowledge, but we're after the presence of God to the level we'll worship God till we break through. And Friday on the motorcycle ride, and I've been telling you about this, so you're going to understand. I've been dealing with trying to totally get rid of all pride thoughts in my life. Anything motivated by pride. I don't know if I've been successful or not. It's hard to with guns like these. But God keeps calling me on them. On thoughts of pride. In fact, I don't know if I'd ever made this connection fully before, but does anybody ever have daydreams where you're the hero? I never have daydreams where I'm the sucker, where I'm the loser. Mine are I'm throwing a touchdown for Tennessee or hitting a home run for the Reds or something, you know. And I've been working for a long time to cast these down because they take up room in your thought processes. It's just cornbread thinking. And so I've got major victory over that area compared to when I was young. I wish I could do that, or you know, and cast that down. And those are rooted in pride. You want to be the hero. I never have a daydream of somebody else being the hero. Is this okay with you? Amen. Those are rooted in pride. And I'm driving on the motorcycle, and I'm in this group of people riding, you know, and we're going through the curves. And these thoughts kept coming. I don't remember any of them specifically, but it's like playing football or baseball or being president or whatever. Well, that's a great one. But these thoughts are coming, and they're almost like wave after wave. And I'm going, I cast that down. And God said, worship me. Spirit of God says, worship me. So I started worshiping God. And as I would worship God, they ceased. And the Lord said, it's impossible. Listen to me. The Lord said, those are rooted in pride. And he said, it's impossible to worship God from your heart and operate in pride at the same time. Man, and I was testing it. I mean, we rode for like, 5 hours? Friday, during that one stretch, we had some Dairy Queen break in between and, you know, some other things. But I'm worshiping God, and they would cease. And then a thought would rise up, because I'm an okay motorcycle rider. I'm nothing like, you know, the Smith's son, Derek. But I can ride okay. And when you're in a group of guys, and you're all going through these corners, and you're thinking, man, I'd like to take this corner about 30 mile an hour faster. Maybe if I passed everybody and just cranked through a few, just, you know. Or, you know, let's see what this baby will do. So you want to crank, open that thing up and see how fast you can get somewhere. And it, and the Lord said, that's in pride. Worship me. Now, I know this sounds silly. You can't imagine I would ever be in pride. But you have to battle these things. Amen. What are you laughing about?
I can't imagine.
My next book is Humility and How I Attained It. If you only knew what geeks have to do to get beyond self-consciousness, right? Just a stand-up here is a victory for me, I'm telling you. From my past. Those thoughts were rooted in pride. And God said, worship me. I start worshiping. All of a sudden, I'm just flowing through, enjoying it versus gnashing at the bit to want to take off, you know. Does anybody want to race? Let's do something, you know. But as long as I worship God, it quit. And the Lord starts saying, I need you, if you want to overcome these things or stop, you know, that are, and I'm thinking, I ain't heard the message yet, but that seemed like they have things on pause. Apply yourself to this. Learn to worship God every day. Learn to develop a mindset of worship. In fact, that's really what he was dealing with me on. Learn to live in worship. Just worship all the time. And you'll get victory over these things. Amen. God never meant for us to get victory by willpower. He wants it to be by word power and by applying ourselves to the kingdom. Going over to, I'm going to be careful I don't use all our time on any of these. Psalm 34. And if later you want these notes, see Aaron or Casey, they probably wrote down the same ones. You know, I thought, why do I want to teach it again? Aaron and Casey have heard it already, but I knew they didn't get it the first time. So. Just kidding. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and heard, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm telling you what, seeking and worshiping God, magnifying God, will deliver you from whatever's holding you back. Amen? It's a key for us. In fact, Pastor Jim said the Lord showed him that if you worship God, it will deliver you from complaining. In fact, he said the Lord told him he was complaining too much. To watch his words, and he goes, me? And all of a sudden he had all these images flashed by him of his past few hours. And he says, I repent. God says, worship will fix that. I want to throw in this section for just a minute so I don't leave it out. Because this is something else God's been dealing with me on. Before Friday night ever happened. Couldn't remember what I was going to say. The enemy is working hard to keep us oppressed. And the way to know you're under the influence of oppression is when you don't feel joy. When you don't feel happy. When you don't feel like you're enjoying life, when you feel like things are stalled or you think like, here's a key. Here's a key to know when you're under some level of, and this is demonic oppression, is when you're entertaining thoughts of what's the point. Remember when I said the enemy's trying to obscure the vision? Well, the way he obscures it by putting in you a mindset of what's the point? Why bother trying? See, if the enemy can keep us on pause long enough, we'll think, why are we even bothered doing all this going to church? Why are we reading the Word and confessing the Word? I got some things that have been on hold in my life. I need breakthrough on. And we can't afford a what's the point mentality, because really what it is, it's growing weary in well-doing. And I had this mental process the other day go through my mind. I don't remember if it was on the bike or I think it was earlier in the week. And I was really just feeling kind of like ho-hum. Like, y'all don't look at me like that. Almost like I just don't care right now. I don't care if $1 million comes in. I don't care if it doesn't. Of course, my wife would celebrate. But it was like the result of pause. And this attitude was coming on me. And so I started thinking, why would I have this attitude? Why would I entertain this attitude when I know this attitude would never exist in heaven? I mean, you're praising God, oh, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. Tap my toe a little bit. They're not doing that in heaven. And I start thinking about what are the differences between heaven and what I'm experiencing right now? What's the differences? Difference number one is in heaven, there's an anointing of God's presence and love permeating everything. I've been in it. I know what it's like. You do not know fullness of joy and peace and life without that presence. And two, there's no devils. All God, no devils. So my logical mind went to working thinking, why would I not be happy right now? Why would I feel ho-hum? Not that I was under any major sickness or depression or anger or anything like that. It was just that I just felt like I just want to sit. And I thought, why would I feel like this when I'm already seated in heavenly places? Why would I feel like this when I know when I get to heaven, I won't feel like this? And I had to come to an obvious logical conclusion. You guys believe in logic? I'm a logical person. I just found out the Word of God, what it says is of higher power than the natural system. And I can apply logic to the Word. So I came to a conclusion. If I feel like this now, but I won't feel like that in heaven, I have one of two things going on, if not both. And it was both. I have not enough God around me and too much devil. This is okay. I got not enough of the presence of God on me right now. And too much oppressive force of the enemy. And it's not that you feel all weighed down. It's just like, huh? And I can't go into the glory like that. See, I know that. And the Lord said, worship me. And you'll invert that. Worship me and it will flip. I'll throw this in just for fun. Tennessee had a ball game yesterday. And beginning of the game, they've done it every game this year. They played terribly. So they're down 21 to nothing before you can blink. 21 to nothing. The game is over. 21 to nothing against Florida. It's over. They end up scoring a field goal before the half. So it's in 21-3 at halftime. And I went down, and I'm the place, I'm numb with Tennessee football after so many years of getting beat by Florida. And Patty said, "Who's winning the game?" I said, "Well, Tennessee's already lost. It's over." But I didn't. It's like I'm not tied to the game like it used to be. I'm free. I can watch it or not watch it. I said, "Well, they've blown this one. It's over." Tennessee comes back second half. First possession goes all the way down and throws an interception in the end zone. Now it's really over. And then they turn around and score 38 straight points. It was halfway through the fourth quarter before Florida got a first down. They held them like 4 yards total offense in the third quarter. And the game totally flipping. Tennessee wins. Big game. You're wondering why I brought this in, right? Why did I even bring it? Because, and guess what? I was happier after the second half than the first half. I wouldn't, oh, yeah, but, you know, hey, I'd like to see the TM4 win. But what I'm talking about is something flipped. Something flipped where Tennessee couldn't do anything right the first half and Florida couldn't do any wrong. Second half, it totally flipped. And worship produces a total flipping. And who's dominating in your life, whether it's God or the devil? So the number one thing we want to do to unplug that pipeline is worship God. And apparently you guys, you had a word from God during praise and worship that you saw a pipeline being unplugged. Punching a hole in the ceiling, amen. Blocking. Amen. He said he felt like there was a breakthrough during praise and worship, like a hole was punched in the ceiling. Well, praise God, worship has the ability to invert blockages. Amen. You ready for the second one? Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The second thing the Lord told him that we've got to do is to not just avoid strife in the body, but seek unity. Now, his example was, as he'd gotten to the point, if somebody says something he didn't like or says something offensive, he would just avoid them. He would just, hey, kind of cut that tie off. And would refuse to go in that area, be around that person or whatever. And he said, God told him, you can't do that. It's the body of Christ. You can't just cut people off in the body, especially when you're in your own church. You follow me? So somebody I've not been talking to and I've been avoiding, I'm just teasing. And see, God was speaking to me on this. Not that I was doing it, but in our church, we can't have it. We can't have any resistances in our relationships, in our interactions. We're a body of believers, and we can disagree on things, but we can't separate from each other. Nor can we dislike each other. You follow me? We've got to walk in love. You may not agree with everything somebody's doing, but you cannot not respond in a loving fashion. So the Lord told him, if you want to unstop or take things off of pause, work to produce unity in the body of Christ, especially in your own church. And God's been dealing with me on that one. This may be a two-parter. We may finish it tonight. Because I don't want to rush through it. I want to get these points made clear. The Lord's been dealing with me on frustration over people that are half-heartedly seeking God, or churches that are playing games, or Christians that are spouting forth religious gobbledygook. And in me, there's a frustration arises and almost How can I say this? Oh, I got to watch how I say this. Almost a desire that, not that it collapses. I don't know how to say it. A frustration over these things. And almost a judgmental attitude, critical attitude toward other church operations or even people. And of course, these things happen when you get on pause. All of a sudden, you get frustrated because things aren't moving like you want them to. And the Lord's been saying, you better get over that. You better rise above that. And then you hear the things like, who do you think you are? Amen. What do you have I didn't give you? If I'm going to be a vessel of love, and we're going to be a church of love, we can't afford critical attitudes. Now, when I teach covenant in here, I teach covenant rule number one is a covenant Christian cannot criticize, critique, or condemn anybody in the body of Christ. And I mean it with regards to people in our church body. That gives me no right to judge anybody. They're not my servant. It's between them and God. Are you following me? And God's been dealing with me on focusing on my situation, my attitude, and let Him deal with theirs. And Pastor Jim didn't go into this. This is my thing here. So number two is we've got to get rid of judgmentalism. I believe it would include unforgiveness. I don't think he had that as one of his items. Nope. Deal with all unforgiveness. It's amazing how subtle unforgiveness can move in. Can't afford it. Can't afford to carry hard feelings towards anybody. Now, there's people I hope what they're doing that it fails. You follow me? Because I believe they're working against God. I mean, there are political agendas. I hope they fail. That's not judgmentalism. That's just desiring truth to prevail. But I don't desire anybody to be hurt in it. You follow me? And I don't desire, you know, you got to watch who you want to go through hell. Amen. Because it says, judge not that you be not judged. If you're wanting things not to work for somebody else, it may result in it not working for you. So we're being challenged by God to increase in our love walk, in our unity. Psalm 133, and here's one we, you know, we cover a lot in here. Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. We're to function as one. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now, the ointment is the oil or the anointing. It flows from the head, Jesus, down to the rest of the body. And a lack of unity separates you from that oil. Amen. I don't want to be cut off from the anointing. Verse 3, is the dew of Hermon and is the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, the church. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The blessing comes out of the anointing. You want your life on hold, get rid of the disunity. And I might say this also includes divine order. Being under a pastor can speak into your life and not resenting it or fighting against it. Number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking to unplug our pipeline of flow, right? Are you getting anything out of this? Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Your reaping represents a flow into your life, and it's not always just money. It's anointing. It's love. It's relationships. It's whatever. Whatever you sow, that you shall you also reap. And so the Lord spoke to Pastor Jim and said, if you want breakthrough, increase your seed. But I'm telling you what, in times of pause, do you know when a tree goes through a drought? It has one of two choices to make. One, either drop its fruit to try to survive the drought, or two, extend its roots for more water. Amen. And the tendency is if we think with a natural mind is, oh, I better cut back on my giving, or just hold my giving, or, you know, be concerned about my giving because things seem like they're on hold, nothing seeing breakthrough. I better save back for a rainy day or whatever. And you become a tree that dropped its fruit or just stunted its roots' growth. When in fact roots represent our faith, it will extend our faith and increase what we're extending into. Breakthroughs happen. I didn't think, yeah, we got one amen out of that one. Whatever you're sowing, go to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That doesn't work in the life of a sparing sower or a fearful sower. God's looking for people that will learn to sow with abandonment. Well, you're trying to get money out of us. You put that whole thing together to get money out of us. You keep your 50 cents, you stingy thing. I'm not after your money. I didn't say so to me. Didn't say so to the church. I'm just talking about giving. Become a giving person. Listen, if I was after people's money, I entered the wrong career 23 years ago. I'd have stayed where I was. Amen. If I was after people's money, I would speak the happy messages you're hearing elsewhere in Christianity. We're so glad to have you, and God loves you no matter what you do. Go sin and enjoy life, and we'll all meet in heaven together. And you can get people to flock to your church. You can pack it out with that message. All I got to do is say that God doesn't heal anymore, except in certain cases, and you're doing the best you can. Just know that God sees your situation. He understands, and have a nice day. And you don't release any anointing to threaten the devil. The devil will leave your congregation alone. He'll bring people to it. If I was after money, I would do that. But instead, I'm going to tell you, if you're sleeping around, you're in sin. And it goes beyond that one, amen. I've run too many people off from here. Not telling them to go, but with the word to be after people's money. Amen. So if we really want breakthrough, we'll increase our seed. And we've been doing that as a church. I've increased our seed this year, probably 25%. And may go higher. We've got to see breakthroughs. Amen. In fact, everywhere I'm going now, to different meetings, I'm sowing to every conference I'm going to as a church, whether taken up as a church or not, I'm sowing as a church into the conferences, sowing into different meetings. We sowed into the motorcycle thing. Going to sow some more. Going to send them another check. Because I didn't have a signed check when I was there. Seed produces breakthroughs. I've never tried this, but I've seen it shown in science books. And I'm told they used to do this years ago, that one of the ways they used to use to break rock was to find cracks in rock and put seed in it with some soil. Have you heard this before? And as the seeds sprout and grow, the hydraulic pressure within that stem produces so much force on the rock, it will actually work to split the rock. The power of seed. There's a process called turgor, where a seed will actually grow through concrete, a plant. The force it produces can get in and bust up rock, concrete, asphalt. Our seed has the same capacity. Amen. There's a force within. See, God, He's so new how our hearts had a tendency to tie to riches. He said, if I can get a hold of your riches, I'll get your heart. So Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. He told the rich young ruler that came to him, what do I need to do to follow you? And he says, well, you know, just obey the commandments. He says, well, I've done that from my youth up. And he says, then give all you have, to sell all you have and give to the poor and follow me. And he went away sad. Why? Because the riches had him more than the desire to follow God. Now, I'm not saying you got to give all your stuff away. I don't even believe that. Haven't done it myself. But I do believe if money has you, then to some level God doesn't. And so God instituted in his spiritual laws financial operations. It says if you'll do this with your money, it has an equal effect on your heart and it'll produce this type of breakthrough in your life. I'm telling you, some of my greatest breakthroughs have been through sowing a seed. Many of my greatest breakthroughs. And Patty's. Man, it used to be years ago, before she got her head on right, she'd get mad at me. We'd go through battles. We would go through battles. And I'd say, where's that ring I gave you? She said, oh, well, I sewed it. We were going through a challenge, and I sewed that ring for our marriage. Well, praise God. Amen. And then I'd have something, and boom, it'd be gone. What, sewing it for the marriage? Well, we using seed. And I'm convinced we're here today because of what seed did in our marriage. She gave away some of the nicest jewelry I ever gave her. Now, hopefully it wasn't because she was mad at me saying, I'm getting rid of this, but... She was sowing it for breakthroughs. Now you're trying to talk us out of our jewelry. No, 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 no. I'm just talking about how seed works. Amen. Patty's got plenty of jewelry. She doesn't need any more. So I see we get a chuckle out of her on that one, right? Back in 1995, I think it was, we had gone from making a lot of money, I mean, for the time, making a good bit of money. House paid off. No bills, cars paid, not a debt in our life. God calls us in the ministry. And I leave everything for a handful of peanuts a week if I got paid. And we had to believe for everything we had. And I've shared this story before, but somebody gave us... And the pastor I was under at the time, a trip to Cincinnati for a day or two, maybe just a night. And we check in this hotel in Cincinnati, and it's downtown, is the Westin actually, and there was a jewelry store. There's a whole complex of stores there, and there was a jewelry store. We walked in, there was a dream ring for Patty. It was like $450. It was a what do you call it, goes around the engagement ring, its wedding ring, and they marry together? They had a name for it. Anyway, it was what she wanted. And I could have put it on a credit card, but I knew God was saying no. And she wanted that ring. I said, Patty, we do not have the funds. And we can't put it on a credit card. I said, but I make you a promise. Before we're done, you'll have rings on every finger of your hand if you want. Well, now, and it's not that I've got a whole lot more money, but rings have come, and now she got hands full of rings if she wants to. Giving away thousands and thousands of dollars worth of rings. They just keep coming back. Amen. To now, she got that one ring that belonged to her grandmother. We had it appraised. Turns out it's extremely valuable, at least on our standard. It's not the Hope Diamond or nothing, but for us, way beyond what we thought. God's faithful. Seed produces breakthroughs. So you can't afford to pull back your roots and try to survive a pause. You bust through it forcefully. Amen? Let's go ahead and see if we can get through this. Number 4, Jeremiah chapter 23. This probably isn't the most apt verse for this. But it'll work. Jeremiah 23. And it is a great verse anyway. Verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And we've shared this before. You can take a hammer, a rock-cutting hammer, which is like a big sledge with a point on it, and you can start dropping that rock hammer on a huge rock, if you know where to hit, and just keep dropping the hammer. And over time, the vibrations that hammer sets up in the rock will split that rock. Seen the videos. Seen it done. It'll split that rock. And you think nothing's happened. All of a sudden you'll drop it and go clunk instead of ring. And you drop it one more time and the rock just splits. That's the power of the word. If you keep speaking it. Now number 4 is one God's been dealing with me on at length. And it's cut out the inactivity. Now, this verse infers that we maintain the right activity. Don't go days without confessing the word over your situations. Go into weeks without speaking the promise of God you need in your life. Keep the promise active. I forget what the number was. Do you guys remember the number that Alicia said she confessed a verse in one day? She confessed a 35-word verse, was 1,000 times, took her 35 minutes, something like that. Huh? 100 times? 100 times, 100 times. You can take a short amount of time and you can hammer some verse home. Just speak it. Just keep speaking it. And I believe it's important to do that. But for me, cutting out the activity was more all the stuff the devil wants to dump in front of you that you think you need to do and you don't. Or you try to do by yourself without the anointing. Cut out the time wasters. Reprioritize your time. Decide what you really need to do. Now I'm going to say something just to help the women this morning. You get mad and cast it down if you want to. But some of the stuff your mom taught you had to be done don't have to be done. Listen. I'm not saying be a slob. But it'd be more important to let the bed not be made for a day and get some time in prayer than worry about that being done. House doesn't have to be vacuumed every day. You can go to bed with a dirty dish, and I guarantee it will not crawl up and walk off by morning. I know for experience. Man, before I got married, I was 30 when I got married, I'd let the dishes pile up until I didn't have any more. I found if you let them set about 2 to 4 weeks, you could peel them instead of wash them. A whole lot easier. Just kidding. Some stuff's been drummed into our heads of what we have to do to be clean or responsible people or, you know, adults. And some people take it to a level they can't get any time in prayer because if there's a speck of lint in the house, they've got to go get the vacuum cleaner, suck it all up. All right, be free. And if you got a bunch of kids, hang it up anyway. Amen. I mean, you got enough kids, you don't have to worry about vacuuming, just walk on the clothes. We only had two of them, we could do it. Throwing a dog, my goodness, you'll never get all the hair out of the house. But we get caught up in these unrealistic expectations for our life and time, and it requires we prioritize God out of the equation. Some stuff can just set, and the earth won't cave in. And I'm convinced when we get to heaven, I'm convinced when God's going through the books, and he gets to your life, and he's going, hey, I see here that, you know, you received me as Lord and Savior, but I see that you never spend any time in prayer, hardly any time in the Word. You never confess the Word. You went to church, you know, once a week. But it's okay. Don't worry about it because I see you kept a really clean house. It's not going to be in there. How clean your car is, your house is, whatever it is not going to be in there. Again, I'm not saying be a slob. You want to look like a responsible person. But do like I do. Let the house, you know, not be perfect until you hear people are coming over, and then work really hard for the next 30 minutes to get stuff picked up before they get there. So when they come in, you're all sweaty, but you go, oh, welcome. I didn't know you were coming. Oh. Or do like Patty does. She hears somebody's coming over. She says, Jack, get all your stuff picked up now. Yeah. She starts shoving all in a pile. Do something with all this. I'm going, you just did. Let's put a tarp on it. We had a little bit of that yesterday. Had a bit of that yesterday with, I've been taking pictures of Star Wars toys, putting them on the kitchen table. She's going, you got to get this Star Wars stuff to the church now. I said, I'll have it out of here tomorrow. You saw, hey, that was. She didn't say it quite like that, but I knew it was time for it to be picked up. Because I've had boxes everywhere. I mean, I've had them in the living room. There's still stuff on tables all over I haven't brought in yet. And I know what I'd extended the grace on Jar Jar Binks' visitation. Well, listen, I'm out of time. We're not going to get through all these. We'll pick it up tonight with this. Amen? Re-review, cover some of the stuff a little more, and then cover the last one as well. Father, seal the word in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Cause to be people that clean out our pipelines, that are obedient to your word and your direction versus just give it lip service. We thank you. We give you praise. Father, I pray right now. You show each one here areas of this they can apply to their lives and when they can apply it. You give each one a heart to get off of pause and see breakthrough in their own lives. Show them the steps they personally can take to step into your fullness. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug some necks. Show the love of God.